We're joined now by Rudy Macklin, the leading rebounder, second leading scorer in LSU basketball history, led his team to the Final Four 39 years ago. And we've talked with him about that many times, and we've also talked about it with him about 28 years as head of the Louisiana Governor's Council on Physical Fitness. He's also head of Minority Health Outcomes in the Department of Health, and he is with us to talk about coronavirus and more. And unfortunately, Rudy, two guys who were at Broussard Hall with you back in the day, track athletes, and one a football player and track star, Orlando McDaniel and Pearson Jordan, they have succumbed to this, and these guys, I understand, were not guys who let themselves go and were out of shape. They were in pretty good condition, and it shows how this disease can take out even the best of those who are in shape. And they were both, of course, the two gentlemen we're talking about, over 50 years old. But Rudy, I'm sure that was a sobering thing for you, as it was for me, to read that Orlando and Pearson are no longer with us because of COVID-19.
Yeah, I spoke with Pearson over a week ago and given him the number to one of his old roommates back in the day, and we talked about 45 minutes catching up. And then I called his old roommate, Mike Foster, to give him Pearson's number. And then Mike called him that day. And Mike texted me back and said he couldn't reach him. I said, well, give him a day or two. He might be busy. And he never could get him. And that's what we found out days later that he had passed. And Orlando, you know, he's one of those Tiger Faithfuls, man, the Tiger fraternity in Broussard Hall. He always brought a team down to New Orleans at our Governor's Games track and field event every year. And we always kept up with one another by way of Facebook and texting one another. And it's just sad to see those two guys who I knew very, very well to no longer be here because of this unpredictable thing we call coronavirus.
And you say you talked with Pearson Jordan 45 minutes a week ago. Did he give any indication that he might be sick?
No. He said he was doing well. And I told him I was in New York over a year ago. And I said I didn't get a chance to get with him. And I said I was going to come back when all this was over and get with him and take him and his wife out to dinner. And he said that was good. And we talked about the old days and people we had talked to recently. And just start reminiscing about the days back at Broussard Hall and the things we went through at LSU, our LSU experience. And I gave him the number of his old roommate, and that was it. Then a week after that, that's when I found out that he had passed away. So it must have hit him hard and fast. He lived in Manhattan, outside of Manhattan anyway, in New York, which is the epicenter of the coronavirus. And so it hit him pretty hard. He was a little older than us, Jim, because he came from Barbados. I'm 62. He was 69, but he was on the Olympic team for Barbados. And so LSU signed him to a scholarship to run track. He was on that 4x4 team with him, Rebay Scott, Greg Hill, and one other person. I forgot who it was. And He was a sprinter, and he was just a very good friend, and we're all going to miss him.
Well, you have always preached that people should stay in shape, and even though we've got two guys who apparently were in shape who died, still being in good condition is a deterrent in most cases to this as far as living through it.
Yeah. You know, Jim, with this virus, you know, we train on emergency preparedness, you know, every year. You know, everybody sees me doing, you know, the Governor's Games, the Governor's Council on Fitness, but they rarely see the other hat that I wear when it comes to minority health. And so when we live in a state that's unhealthy and unwell, we're more vulnerable to pandemics like this coronavirus.
877-217-5757. We'll take a short 2-minute break and return with the remarkable Rudy Macklin. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us. Matt Doyle producing. You're listening to Talk Louisiana, and our guest for a while longer is Rudy Macklin, the all-time leading rebounder at Louisiana State University, leading scorer in the history, excuse me, second leading scorer in the history of LSU. There was a guy named Peter Pressmarevich who scored 3,667 points, more than anybody in the history of college basketball. But he's the only guy ahead of Rudy Macklin who led LSU to the Final Four in the year of 1981. Best team in LSU history, 31-5, 17-1 in the SEC. And for a guy who lived his life on numbers, the numbers for coronavirus right now are sobering. In Louisiana, the report yesterday, 185 deaths, 4,025 cases. And when we look worldwide, the U.S. is now far and away number one in a very bad category with 164,665 reported cases. That's first. Italy is second, 101,739. Now, if there's a good thing amid this terrible crisis, the USA is behind Italy, Spain, and China in deaths, although today the USA will likely overtake China. And China has four times the people we have. This is where this began, we think. And they've got four times the people, and now they have half the number of cases. So how did China get it under control, and we're having problems? Rudy, you have any thoughts about this?
Well, China, they cracked down that whole country pretty much, especially where it originated, in Wuhan. They cracked down. They had a citywide, statewide social distancing and stay-at-home policy in place. And everybody, you know, were in compliance with it, because if you were not, you were on the street going to take care of non-essential business. Then they would, you know, fine you or throw you in jail for a year and things like that. Very draconian type of measures in order to get it under control. And also, they were able to test a whole lot of people at one time. And they really dropped the ball in the beginning, but they made up the time for it by testing so many people to see who all had the actual virus itself and isolated those people. And so, but thus, in the U.S., you know, we got started late, we got behind. We still have trouble, you know, testing folks like we should. And a state like ours in Louisiana, we're an unhealthy state to begin with. And we're more vulnerable to pandemics like this virus because we have high rates of illness, disease, diabetes, obesity. And so by us being an unhealthy, unwell state, we fall prey to viruses like this coronavirus. And so, but our society here in the United States, we have we don't adhere to policies like the stay-at-home policies like we should. We still have people on the street, you know, having gatherings around, not only around the state, but around the country. And I heard one psychiatrist describe it as, you know, some type of unrealistic optimism bias. It's a tendency to underplay threats and to see yourself as being more impervious than the average person. You know, too many people seem to think the disease happens in another country and it won't happen to them. And so we have to really, when the order comes down to stay at home, we have to stay at home and stay away from large gatherings. But we have a tendency of trouble, you know, adhering to mm-hmm. that policy. And that's really going to hurt us. And you got a number of red states, with the exclusion of ours, that were slow to implement those stay-at-home policies, like a Florida, like a Missouri, and like Mississippi, that are really slow to implement those.
In fact,
those.
A listener says restaurants are still open in Mississippi.
Yeah, still open. And so by doing that, you know, it's really going to spread, you know, throughout Mississippi, because the border from Louisiana to Mississippi, you just walk right across. Mm-hmm. And so you can't deny a virus such as this not to hit you sooner or later, and it's going to hit. And so by them not really taking action, you know, being proactive instead of reactive, then it's really people are going to pay the price.
Well, many businesses and offices are considered essential. Yours certainly is, and thank goodness ours is. I'm in studio now. I'm looking across the glass at our producer, Matt Doyle, who I would guess is about 12 feet away, and there is a glass between us, and he tested negative for coronavirus, thank God. But but a listener says, why are liquor stores considered essential services? and they're on the list, by the way.
Yeah, they're on the list. You know, you can make some real good hand sanitizer by that alcohol, that high volume alcohol.
Well, liquor stores are essential, but barbers aren't. I don't know where I'm going to get a haircut, Rudy.
Oh,
so.
Man, I'm growing a beard right now, you know. It's been tough. But we have trouble with that. But my role is, you know, I pay attention to what goes on in the grassroots communities among the poor and how this virus affects the poor. We train, you know, every year when it comes to emergency preparedness.
Well, and that brings us to a question from a listener about, you know, this could go on for a while. The governor has extended the stay-at-home order until April 30th. But what happens if we get into hurricane season and some Category 3 or 4 storm blows through here while this is going on? Can you imagine the issues involving evacuation? You've been, I think, going through some worst-case scenarios, haven't you?
Oh, yes. We've been working on that, Jim, for the last 2 weeks. I'm part of the CDC Advisory Council when it comes to emergency preparedness. And one of the questions that was raised by a Native American chief of a tribe, they said, what happens if this virus backs into hurricane season? And the whole room was like in awe and in a gasp. It was quiet. It was like, wow, we didn't think about that. And so immediately we formed this task force to start looking at the worst and best case scenarios dealing with, you know, hurricane season backing into this coronavirus crisis that we have. You know, these hurricanes, you know, June 1 is hurricane season, but a couple of them have been known to form in the Atlantic, you know, much sooner. And these hurricanes are coming more, you know, violent than ever. And so if we get a major hurricane while this is going on, what's going to happen during the things we do to prepare when it comes to evacuation procedures? You know, who's you going to evacuate with? Do you know if they have the coronavirus or not? You screen these people before they evacuate with you. And going into shelters and triage that we have at the PMAC and at the assembly and at the field house, you know, we don't know who's who or what they have when they get to you. My role is I'm over safety and logistics for bus triage and transportation. And those people that come from nursing homes, rehabilitation centers, to me on the buses before I, you know, direct them on to the triage or to the shelter in Alexandria, we don't know what conditions they're going to be in when they get to me and my people and my team. And so those are things we're looking at right now. And that'll be a double whammy for Louisiana if that happens. A major hurricane cross paths with a pandemic flu, a pandemic of virus like the coronavirus. That would be a double whammy for our state. And our resources are already strained is real thin. And what's going to happen then if that hurricane does come along? And that's something that's really on our minds, and we're worried about it. We're working on it right now. As we speak, we're going to have conference calls every day dealing with this possibility.
Well, Sunday morning, I was walking through campus at LSU, very few souls in Tigertown. At the old war school, but went into Tiger Stadium, and it was open, by the way. And there's a construction crew working fervently to get the field ready for the 2020 season starting September 5th. And right now the field looks like a dust bowl because it's been completely eradicated, and it's ready for a new field to be installed. Rudy, do you think we're going to have college football?
I want to be as optimistic as possible, but, Jim, I cannot see it happening. I cannot see it happening because we have yet to get to the apex of this coronavirus, especially in our state, and our state being an unhealthy state, an unwell state, and the possibility of hurricane season coming. And then after the summer months, we're going to go into the fall. And when the fall months come around, this virus is going to resurface again. Okay, so it's going to hit us again. And also, Jim, what people don't hear many people talking about is this could have a heavy toll on the mental health of our citizens in Louisiana. There's going to be some major mental health issues surrounding this particular virus, and especially if a hurricane come on top of it. And so Louisiana is in a real predicament here in terms of not only our physical health, but our mental health as well, and the anxiety to go along with this, you know, coronavirus. But I cannot see schools being open again. I really can't see that. They might as well cancel school the rest of the year. This is my own, you know, opinion based on the data and the projections that I see. And then also going into high school football season, college football season, pro football season, I can't see it happening because it takes too long to recover from something like this. And we still are behind the ball in dealing with it right now. We're going into April.
Right.
And so we have a lot to deal with. I can't see it happening. You know, as much as we love our sports here, I can't see it happening.
It could be delayed. That is a possibility.
Oh, yes.
Could it delay it until probably Thanksgiving and then extend the season into the spring? There is that possibility. And this is a $55 million net engine for the LSU Athletic Department. It funds all the other programs at LSU other than basketball and baseball, which essentially break even. Rudy, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. This is a public health crisis. We got to solve that first.
And signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial.